Welcome to Candidates Corner. My name is Dave Danielson, and with me today is Phil Pichette. Phil is a candidate for state representative. And Phil, welcome to Candidates Corner.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you asking me here.
Good to have you. Well, Phil, this is your first attempt at elective office. So I guess the first thing I should say is thank you very much for having the courage and the will to run for office. Often people have said that this is a volunteer position, and so thank you for doing it. Thank you for being willing to run. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much for saying that.
Yeah, I think folks would want to know. They may not know you. You've never run before for office. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Phil Pichette. I grew up on the west side of Manchester. I went to high school at West. I still know a lot of people that lived in Bedford because I went to school with a bunch of them. I've been living here in Bedford for 14 years. I worked 20 years at the fire department. And right now, after I retired, I started a business. I repair dental equipment.
First of all, it was the Manchester Fire Department that you worked in.
I worked at Manchester, and I worked at Nashua.
Nashua Fire Departments.
Yes.
Excellent. You have a child who graduated from West High School?
Yeah, my daughter is 37, and she graduated from West.
Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. And your business. How long have you been in business?
I've been in business 4 years now.
Excellent. And what kind of business is it?
I'm just a business. It's basically repairing the dental drills and the hygienists, scalers, and so on and so forth.
Okay, so it's fairly good business right now, I would think, with the healthcare industry doing as well as it's doing.
Yes, it's very, very good. I've been very, very lucky, and they say that I'm very good at it.
Okay, so it's not luck.
It's not luck. I've worked as a mechanic for the fire department. I used to repair the air packs and all this safety equipment.
Right.
So I was really good at doing computer work because it's unbelievable. Most of all, everything in the fire department, the fire trucks, everything is computerized. Even the breathing apparatus, mm-hmm. the firefighters use. So when I came to doing this, it was quite simple compared to what I was doing before.
The transfer of technology is what you're thinking of, right?
Yes.
It's good.
Very, very different, but it's very, very the same, too.
And where's your business located? Is it here
it's
in Bedford?
It's right here in Bedford. I do it by myself.
Yeah.
And I do it out of my home.
Okay.
So this makes it easier because my wife is very ill.
Okay.
And this gives me a lot of time to be at home when she needs
Excellent.
Me.
Now, will you have the time to go to Concord and participate in Concord as well?
Yes, because basically, doing what I'm doing, I consider it to be a part-time.
Okay.
So I usually do be 3 days a week to 4 days a week.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. I think probably is most important for folks who are watching is why do you want to be a state representative?
I want to be state representative because I see a lot of things, and I talk to my wife says I talk to everybody. And I talk to people, and a lot of people have a lot of issues. And the other issues is they want to keep the small town feeling. They want New Hampshire to feel like a rural area. And yeah. I think this is a good point that I feel the same way.
Now, how would you address that? Some of those issues, I think we talked offline, some of those issues are actually local issues, local planning issues.
Yes.
But how would you handle that, or how would you try to address it from a state perspective?
What I would try to do is make sure that the towns and your communities in the state of New Hampshire, especially Bedford, that we listen to the people there and we try to do what they need for the community. And I think that a lot of people that go and you see these things, it seems like they don't take us into consideration. As in the average citizen who works every day, who tries to make a living and they want to live in a certain lifestyle. And the lifestyle in New Hampshire I've been all over the country, and I think this is one of the best places in the country to live, is right
Excellent.
Here.
One of the things you mentioned that you felt is impacting that lifestyle is the amount of traffic in southern New Hampshire.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, I travel the highway all over the state of New Hampshire, and it's not just here, but here it seems to be the worst. It seems like 101 is a parking lot, basically
right.
most of the day. People are moving to New Boston Road. Then they take the cuts. Wallace Road is a cutoff. I know. I do it myself
mm-hmm.
to eliminate traffic
right.
and stuff. And I know all the back roads around here because I grew up in this area. I used to hang around with a lot of kids from Bedford.
Right.
And it seemed like every time you turn around, it's just congestion. It feels like you're in a city, not in a nice suburb area.
And of course, you got 93.
Yes.
In the morning and in the evening. And
with the construction now, it's even worse. Right. But that's expected.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think after the construction's done, because once you get up beyond exit 3, when the lanes open up, until you get to Massachusetts, it's the traffic moves very, very well.
Exit 3 is...
It's one above Salem. It's
Right. Okay.
And that's where that's basically beyond there, the road widens to 3 and 4 lanes.
Right, Windham, I think.
Yeah.
Windham and down that way. Okay. How would you address traffic otherwise? I mean, when you look across southern New Hampshire, until you get over into the western part of the state, virtually the whole southern part of New Hampshire is tied with traffic. How would you address that? Are you thinking of mass transportation, which would be trains? Are you thinking of more bus routes?
I think.
How would you address that?
I think the bus routes to Boston, because especially if they would leave the Manchester area and come like more out towards like the Bedford area, have a station somewhere, but the thing is, you have parking. You get down to the exits down on 93, there's exits you can take, and I think there's one in Londonderry.
Right.
And you can park your car
five,
and get the bus.
Right.
There's one in Manchester.
Right.
I think maybe we should try to figure a way so it would move over. This way we don't have to hot top all over the place to solve the problem. Because I don't think it really actually solves the problem by making the roads wider and wider and wider.
Okay. Another thing that you mentioned, quality of life that you felt impacted this area, is the environmental issues that we have. Environmental issues can mean anything. I know you spoke about green space, but we look at water, air quality, water quality, those kinds of issues.
There is a big problem with water quality in the state of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
I just had my house tested because they found gasoline in some of the wells in my area.
Hmm.
And they came and knocked on the door and asked us if we can do testing. I certainly said yes. I was in home. My wife was home because he's home all the time. And she called me up. She says, it's all right, Phil. I said, that's a great idea. If there's a problem with the wells, we have to figure out how we can, first of all, how can we reach as many people as we can and solve this problem? Because it doesn't only impact us. It impacts everybody. Because
mm-hmm.
quality water, everybody says lead, but there's other stuff inside of it and water that affects people. There's a lot of minerals. I seen the sheets and stuff. I have water testing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other chemicals in there that besides
right.
that.
Well, some of the things we're hearing from Saint-Gobain right now, for example, in the southern part of the state, southern part of the town, are those issues that are trying to be addressed by the state and by Saint-Gobain itself and the communities.
Yes, I read the letters and stuff like that, and
right.
I asked my neighbors, and I think my wife's the only one that said, yeah, come on in and do the water testing.
Okay, good. Any other environmental issues that you see that you think we should be aware of, that we should watch?
Well, they're taking care of the southern part of New Hampshire air pollution is going to be a big issue in the future,
okay.
a lot more than it is today. I think there's a lot of, they're taking a lot of green spaces away too,
mm-hmm.
which helps clean the air.
Right.
And you just sit there, and if you drive down, I drive a lot, so I drive about 500 miles a week.
Right.
So I seen you go down, you can actually, it sounds like when I was a kid, when you drove the car, you remember you used to smell the fumes all the
time? Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's starting to feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, even though we have high-tech cars, you know, they get a lot of pollution control systems in it, but when you get 1,000 cars on a half a mile of road, it's starting to affect it.
You're listening to Republican candidate for State Representative Phil Pichette on Candidate's Corner on Bedford 105.1.
That's interesting. I mean, you just mentioned that, and it made me think, do you have any idea how we're getting a lot of cars, for example, that are hybrids?
Yeah.
A lot of electronic cars
yes.
today. And as they do that, they're using less gasoline. And as they use less gasoline, they're spending less money on taxes.
Yes, for road improvement.
That's right. So I'm wondering, got any ideas about how we address the fact that we're losing that tax revenue?
Well, we should do, like they used to do the diesel tax on construction companies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You bought the diesel, you paid a certain amount every year for the vehicle. I think maybe we should start looking at stuff like that. And I'm really not too happy about raising the gas tax. But we also need to realize that we have to spend the money where it needs to be spent for everybody. If we want to have these improvements, we want to have the green spaces we want beside the roads and the highways and stuff, we have to realize we have to pay for it. And the only way you can pay for it is to raise revenue some way.
Okay. So let me just double check, because I think what you're looking for then, or what you're suggesting, I think, Phil, is a multiple tax approach, where you'd look at perhaps more taxes on gasoline, but then not as much as you'd probably need if you spared that amount of gasoline tax and looked at the electronic or hybrids
and see if you
charged a fee like they used to do for diesels.
Yes, I think the fee would be more fair for everybody,
because
it would make if you're not buying any gasoline, but you still have responsibility to support the system.
Okay.
And the only way they're going to be able to do their fair share is to pay a certain amount every year.
So if you're riding on the road, you should be paying...
You should be paying your fair share.
Okay, good. We mentioned a little bit about... talked a little bit about the elderly. That was an issue that you had. New Hampshire is graying.
Yes, I know that. As we both know.
New Hampshire's graying, and there's an issue about how are we going to be addressed. I think from a healthcare perspective, I think from a transportation perspective that we were just speaking of, from an economic development perspective. Have you thought about how the elderly will get addressed or how we should?
Well, I've given a lot of thought to this because I take care of my mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's and lives at home. And there's things that we should really, really concern me as a lot is that not because only my mother-in-law, I know a lot of elderly people. And I made promises with my mother that her best friend and her husband that I was supposed to help them with their car for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, I think my mother will haunt me. So the issue is a lot of these people is transportation, because they get to a point where their lives where they can't drive because they cannot see properly or they have problem with dementia or something. We should actually help them find ways to be transportation, which is reasonable. If you hire someone now, it's just you got to get a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
There's some volunteer groups in the state that does this, but we should try to get more of this going for them, for the people who are at home. We also should try for the medical thing. We should try and concentrate. Medicare doesn't pay for dental work. You know, because I know that because I happen.
Right.
And
it's your business.
It's my business. But they have to take care of their teeth. They have to take care of their body. We got to make sure they have a healthy life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that we spend trillions of dollars on unnecessary things, but little things to make their quality of life better.
Right.
I also believe that the ones that are capable of still working that want to work, we cannot force people into go to work, especially an elderly person. But I know a lot of elderly people would love to go back to work, but they have issues. They don't have transportation, or they just can't find something that's suitable for them, because the elderly has a lot of experience, they have a lot of knowledge, they have a lot to give to society. They might not be physically able to do a work of a young person, but he's there ready to do work and understand how processes is doing to help the next generation.
Right.
Help them. In other words, let's not learn the hard way all the time. Let's have people help us learn to do things the easier way.
And I think you mentioned offline when we were speaking, you mentioned about the work ethic.
Yes.
Of elderly folks, not elderly folks, but senior folks.
Senior folks, I usually have a better work ethic than, because I've seen it myself, because I'm an older person.
Right.
And I've seen it. We just have a different attitude. I mean, on a lot of things different.
Right.
Because we actually grew up in a different world. Right. I grew up in the 50s, in the early 60s. And I remember my parents didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. You know, and I remember, we never went hungry, but it was tight.
Yep.
And I don't remember, as an adult, ever having that urgency, like that, that we've got to have food on the table. We have to have this on the table. I always been very, very lucky, because I was, you know, what I did for 40 years, I was a diesel mechanic. Yeah. And it's always been a big demand job. It's always been paying really good. People always look. But when I was starting, the older guys I used to befriend a lot more, because they helped me. They taught me. They mentored me into the trade. Even though I went to a vocational school, mm-hmm. they helped me. And I feel that that gave me a boost in my future. It made me feel confident that I can succeed and make things happen, because there's somebody helping me, an older man who's 30, 40 years old. And of course, they gave me a hard time. Yeah. But they helped me, because I was willing to listen.
Good.
And stuff. So that's why I think elderly people have so much to give. They give their knowledge and experience and the way they believe things should be done. You might not agree with them. I agree. Well, I know that. I have children. They don't agree with me.
Right.
But you know what I mean? I think they would be very, very good in society if we would use them for their knowledge.
Excellent. Excellent. And as we spoke about, the quality of life that you've referred to a number of times, mm-hmm. They can contribute to that quality of
yes.
life as we go forward, not only as workers, fellow workers, yeah. but also in the experience that they have yeah. that they can give.
Todd, yeah.
One of the things that, again, we spoke of offline, I spoke that I had heard, and I was glad to hear that you had heard also, is a number of folks who said, he's a firefighter, a retired firefighter. So that means he's going to go to Concord, and all he's going to do is try to preserve the retirement system. I know you said you've heard the same thing. So
constantly.
Right. So it's not something that you're trying to hide, for sure.
Oh, no.
So we want to address it. And how would you address that?
Well, I'm very lucky
okay.
that I have a lot of, I have income besides that. And I think the system is pretty solid here in New Hampshire. I have no fears about it. And I'll be honest with you, that if we have to vote on issues that affects other people or deny other people's services, that I probably wouldn't vote for it. I would probably go with where we need the money the most.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's realistic to expect people to go without
mm-hmm.
just because other people are, you know, basically you're hungry. You're just trying to get something for yourself. And I think it's not right if I go there to try to get something for myself. I'm there to help the people in Bedford and the state of New Hampshire to get a better quality of life. We want this place, the state, I want people to be happy to say, I'm from New Hampshire. We have a government that works for us, not against us.
Excellent.
And I feel that way. There's a lot of people feel that the government's working against us all the time.
Excellent. And as a business person and an entrepreneur, have you got any ideas about how the state could bring in more businesses? How could they? One of the big issues that you may read about is how do we keep young people here?
That is a big issue, because we have a very well-educated young force here. And that's what businesses are looking for. We have to improve the environment for small business and medium-sized business to come in the state. Larger businesses, usually you have to give so much to get them in. If you want a plant from General Motors or GE to come in here, you have to give something for them. I'm not against them not coming here. Trust me, I'm not.
Right.
I mean, because they're good-paying jobs. But smaller businesses, we should make it more attractive for them to come here. We should give them, to some way, some breaks in the tax system, or make the tax system work for them so that it's attractive for them. We also should try to get companies that are growth companies in growth areas. We should not try, I mean, any business is more than welcome to come here, but we should try to get high-tech companies to come here. We have a workforce. We have educated children that are coming out of schools, especially with the town of Bedford. They have a great school here. These are the type of business that will attract young people to stay.
Okay.
Because they will give them jobs that they want. So that's one thing we have to remember. You know what I mean? We need machinists, we need tool die makers, we need welders and all. That's another thing that we should concentrate on. We need people with skills that's coming out of schools. Not everybody can go to school and become a doctor. A lot of these kids that are coming out of school, if we encourage them to learn how to do something, be an electrician or something, in the trade schools and stuff, this will attract businesses. Because that's what the businesses want. They don't want all managers. They want people that actually have skill levels that they can use to basically run the day-to-day operations of a plant or something,
right.
or a business.
Good.
You know, that's an issue I do have, because it seems like everybody wants to go to college. I didn't go. I went to a vocational school. I did very, very well for myself.
You're listening to Republican candidate for State Representative Phil Pichette on Candidate's Corner on Bedford 105.1.
Indeed, there's a lot of folks today who talk about exactly what you just spoke of, that there's a need for some of the technical skills that we've not concentrated on, and some of the schools haven't concentrated on. Drafting skills, for example, which seem to be more automated today, but you still have to have that attitude as to know what you're doing while you're trying to do that drafting.
Yes.
And the mechanics that you need in order to make something happen.
Yes.
That certainly falls in line with what some folks have talked about.
I've been to factories.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Hamacho to make tool rescue tools. And I walked into the place where they make all the parts. And they make it for North America and South America. They make tens of thousands of parts there. There was only four people.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place, a foreman and three other machinists. That's all there was. I went to the places where they made fire trucks. And you get off the assembly line, it's all automated. I mean, even the assembly part of it's automated now.
Right.
So, but they need people there not to put the thing together. They need people to run these machines, to program the machines, to understand how to make things.
Right. I remember when I was a kid, I was a younger salesperson, and, you know, walking in seeing Bridgeport machines.
Yeah.
You know, they were all manually operated.
Yes. Not today.
No, you wouldn't find a Bridgeport manual operation today.
If you want a Bridgeport, I can get you one for about $500.
You know, the trick would be to find the operator.
Well, one of my neighbors has one in his garage.
And Is that so?
Yeah, he's an engineer. He works for a company, and he designs stuff.
That's amazing. Phil, we've got just a few minutes left, and this is the important part, I think, because on September 13th, Tuesday, September 13th, which is only a few weeks away, we have the election, the primary election.
Yes.
For nominating folks for the Republican side of the ballot to be go to the House of Representatives. Can you let folks know why they should consider you and why you would want them to vote for you?
Well, I'm asking them to vote for me because I know I'm a very honest person, very hardworking. I also pay attention to what people say to me. I'm a very good listener. And I'm willing to listen to anybody who has problems that is willing to talk to me about it. And I'm also, I think I have a different outlook than a lot of people, because I'm more concerned about other people than myself. I've always been like that. It's just, even I worked at the fire department because I wanted to serve. You know, and a lot of people say, well, you're a mechanic. Well, I went to fires, and I've even got awards from the governor for rescues. I was involved in a lot of stuff that I really don't really want to even remember and think about, because some were pretty awful. But what made me happy was that I helped somebody.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you very much for being here today.
Oh, I thank you so much for having me.
Taking time to come down. And again, I want to thank you for having the courage and having the willingness to serve, because it does take time. It's not much of a reward. But thank you very much for serving. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you. So, folks, on Tuesday, September 13th, we need you to come out to vote on the Democratic primary or the Republican primary, but we need you to come out to vote. And then, if you would, on your calendars, remember November 8th, because that's the presidential election, which is also going to involve all of the statewide offices as well. So again, we appreciate your looking into all of the candidate corners, not just ours with Phil, but the others that you've probably looked at and evaluated the candidates. Thanks very much for being here. Good night.